Well, we talk a lot about Wisconsin being America's dairyland, but we really are a diverse agricultural sector. And one of the areas we really do shine in is the production of vegetable crops, and in particular, potatoes. And here to talk a little bit about that is Dwayne Motz. He, of course, is the director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers. And Dwayne, thanks for joining us today. I want to talk a little bit about the weather firsthand. How much has that delayed our potato growers for starting their planting season?
In the Central Sands area, we tend to would prefer to have started, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago in the field, and we're really just getting started within the last week. So, you know, one of the concerns on the longer day maturing varieties, sometimes you can have some yield reduction, but at this point we would worry more so about how is our fall going to treat us, because we have to take our spring conditions for what we get, and you know, we just need a certain number of growing degree units to grow our crops. So, you know, we want to be optimistic about it. Now, there's a lot of potatoes that are 90-day potatoes. I and my wife planted our little plot at home here in the garden on Sunday, and those are 90-day potatoes. And we would think that even by the 4th of July, we'll have small ones that you could boil. So, you know, by August 1st, reasonably, we'd have with good conditions, we'd have a full-size crop. So there is plenty of time. There are plenty of heat units typically in Wisconsin. So, you know, we're still optimistic that we have every potential for a good crop.
And when we talk about potato production in Wisconsin, I know I've been at a couple of different operations. What are becoming more popular among the consumers? I don't know if you officially call them fingers potatoes, but those different colored potatoes?
Well, you know, we have a category of potatoes called fingerlings.
Mm-hmm.
And fingerling potatoes, they can come in a variety of colors and shapes and typically small sizes. And called fingerlings because they sort of resemble maybe an arthritic finger, but they're not necessarily a consistent shape, not necessarily a consistent size. But a lot of people would describe them. They have a little more firm skin usually, and sometimes they're described as having a nutty flavor, a little bit more of a bite to the skin. So it's a little bit different of a potato, easy to prepare, fast to prepare. You can put any kind of toppings on them, as far as you can make them an incredibly no-fat, healthy potato by boiling them and maybe just putting some sea salt on them or something, or a salsa that has absolutely no fat. And you're always going to, with 5 or 6 ounces of potatoes, you're going to get 110 calories. So it is a pretty healthy alternative, a good choice, and bite-sized, easy to consume.
Dwayne Motz with us. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. And Dwayne, let's talk specifically about the Central Sands, because obviously that is where we grow our potatoes. But I don't think a lot of people realize just how productive that growing area really is.
Well, you know, we've really gone through a lot of changes in the last 20 years. We grow 20,000 less acres in the state, and we grow the same number of potatoes. And we count potatoes in 100-pound units called hundredweight. 20 years ago, we grew 25 to 30 million hundredweight, and in 2012, we grew 29 million hundredweight in the Central Sands of Wisconsin. So our productivity per acre has gone up, and the result of that is incredible environmental savings. We are using less water on less acres and getting the same number of potatoes. Our fertilizers and all of our crop inputs are declined because of the less acres. So it allows us to grow more short-season crops, like peas and beans, that have really put Wisconsin in the canning industry, number one or two, depending on the year, depending on the production, number one or two in the nation in canning crops. So our farmers are diversified and doing an awful lot of things that are environmentally friendly while still growing crops that are profitable to them.
Obviously, you want to be protecting in the region's natural resources. That includes water resources. So I'm going to ask, Dwayne, from your perspective, how do you kind of define the term we've been hearing recently, and that is sustainability?
We look at sustainability as a three-legged stool. We have our social responsibilities, we have our environmental responsibilities, and we also have economic responsibilities. Economic responsibilities are split between the farm needing to be profitable, but also the farm, its employees, and the services provided in the community. Our social responsibility crosses over into that local community as well. People that live and work on these farms or own these farms live in those rural communities, and they're part of that community. Our environmental sustainability section would deal with being responsible citizens of the land and water and soil and air. So it's a three-legged stool at combining all of those activities. And Wisconsin farmers do it better than anyone. No one in the country is as in tune to sustainability as producers in Wisconsin.
Dwayne Motz is our guest. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Grower Association. And let's talk about a very vital a natural resource, and that obviously is water. Can you tell me from your organization's perspective again what kind of things you're doing in water resource management, and also task force that's going on between your organization and the UW Water Task Force?
We formed a water task force in conjunction with some of our scientists at UW back in 2009, and we have an increasing amount of pressure. You know, we recognize water as one of our most important and our vital resources. Without water and the ability to irrigate in the Central Sands, we would not grow the crop that we are today. We do need to supplement rainfall with irrigation water in most seasons. So we created this water task force because we really need to find out the long-term sustainability of the aquifer. We need to find out more about use in local areas and widespread use of water. And then a lot of these things are very local, so what happens in one watershed cannot necessarily exactly be applied to a different watershed because the conditions are different. We found out an awful lot of very interesting things, and probably the one thing we need to understand and study more than ever is the ability for rainfall to have an impact, a positive impact on aquifer recharge. Last season, we're monitoring over 200 wells in the state, and we watch changing aquifer levels throughout the growing season as well as in the winter months. So we have some automated reporting wells. So we can kind of get an idea, even this spring when the frost is coming out of the ground and snow melt is reaching the aquifer, what kind of a positive impact that has. And I want to tell you that, you know, this winter we had a lot of runoff water because snow melts and it hits rivers and streams, eventually goes to the Wisconsin River if you're in this side of the divide, and it goes off to the Mississippi River or it goes to the Great Lakes, one direction or the other. So when we're watching infiltration of water from snow melt, we have different reactions different years because of different amounts of conditions, whether it be frost in the ground, the speed that the frost leaves the ground, or the absence of frost. In the absence of frost, we have an incredible aquifer recharge capability, or areas that get snow early so you don't have that frost level. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon how we watch it. And the biggest thing we recognize is that infiltration to the aquifer occurs very quickly, and the water movement, the aquifer flow, sometimes it's referred to as an underground river, that flow is relatively slow. So when we're monitoring those things, we are actually putting in different numbers of wells at different elevations, and we can determine the flow direction. So then we can look at surface water impacts, if there are any, because of flow direction of the aquifer. So if we have a withdrawal for any reason on one side of a water resource, we can determine if it has a negative or a positive impact on a wetland in that area. So we can plan better for the future and make better decisions on what is healthy for the aquifer, what is sustainable for our farms and our local communities.
Some good insights from Dwayne Motz. Again, he is the executive director of Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, giving us kind of their far-sighted and holistic strategies to preserve our water resources and meet some long-term needs of citizens and farmers in the Central Sands. Unfortunately, our time goes too quickly. I do want to cover a couple of other things yet, though. How are you involved, and what's your role in the DNR water study?
We're a partner in that study, and what we're very proud of is that this is a public-private relationship where what we're going to do is bring a hydrologist and bring our well monitoring activities and the investment with our researchers to the DNR in the joint project, where the first project we're going to work on will deal with the Little Plover River. The Little Plover River has some certain special circumstances and we want to partner with the DNR and try to have a solution-based type of thinking as to what if we do this practice in this part of the river, because we have two sections that tend to have reduced flows. And we also know that there's a substructure of rock beneath the Little Plover River that may have an impact. We've reduced pumping in the area significantly in the last 15 or so years, and we've changed the crop conditions. Only 17% of that watershed is agriculture. So we have 83% impacting it in a different way that has different human impacts or environmental native species impacts, woodlands or grasslands. So when we look at it, we recognize that this is really truly not 100% about agricultural pumping, but what are the other impacts? And then how did last year's drought affect it are really big questions that remain unanswered, and we can't really make too many assumptions as to singular causes for problems with the Little Plover River. I think there's a very complex multiple situation, and we're looking for resolution in conjunction with the DNR to find those answers.
Now, both your water task force and the DNR water study, is there a timetable for this as far as when you're going to be presenting some results?
Well, in our case, we're trying to generate data as we go, and a lot of that we don't make public right away. We want to test it and make sure that we've got some years to prove what we're talking about. We don't want to let something go that's incorrect because it's too early in the process. But the DNR project is slated to be a two-year project, and I would think that that will begin more in earnest probably on July 1st. So I would think we would have significantly more information by the end of June in 2015. But we would, in our water task force, we're trying to create at minimum an annual report. So I would hope that ourselves with the DNR would be able to create periodic reports that tell updates on what we've been working on and what direction this looks like without giving an indication that says here's the hard and fast rule of how this is going to turn out, because we'll never know until we complete the study and then test it.
Well, Dwayne, then in closing, what is your message to just residents of Wisconsin, but especially those in the Central Sands, as far as the commitment from the potato and vegetable growers, not only to sustainability, but obviously the natural resources in that area?
Well, we've had a long-term sustainability initiative. One of the products that we actually put on the store shelf is called Healthy Grown, and it's potatoes grown under a different production scheme, and it's really changed a lot of the thinking in all of our producers. We're very, very committed to this. We've made a significant investment financially in research trying to find the exact causes, and also the other part of this is a public relations initiative that we want to create more transparency, and we want to tell agriculture's good news stories about sustainability and what we do that produces food and make a transparent situation, giving people a better understanding. Our concern is that as each generation gets farther away from the farm, they don't understand where their food comes from, and we want to increase and improve that relationship with our consumer so that there is a better understanding of how food is produced and how it gets to their table.
A good voice for not only production agriculture in the state, but the industry's commitment to the natural resources and protecting them as well. That is Dwayne Motz, our guest here on News Talk WTAQ.